Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Ubekahenes Ahadrinach Limbedinosech. To review what we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah mentioned a number of the stipulations that are included in every standard Ksuba. And the Mishnah said that the Ksuba of one who is a Kayan actually versus one who's Yisrael has a different stipulation. A Kohen, as we know, we just learned at the end of the previous shiur, if his wife was violated, can no longer remain with his wife. And therefore, the Ksuba of a Kohen says that if his wife is kidnapped, he will ransom her and then pay to send her back home to her parents' home and, of course, give her a divorce, a get, and her Ksuba. In the Ksuba of a Yisrael, who, chas v'shalom, his wife is violated, their halach is they could remain husband and wife, it says that if his wife is kidnapped, he will ransom her and bring her back home. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Amana l'kain gadol. If a kain gadol married an almana, so let's think about this for a moment. A kain gadol married an almana, on one hand the kedushin is typhus, the Kedushin is effective. On the other hand, it's a Kedushin that the Torah doesn't want us to have. Kohen Gadol is not supposed to marry an Almana. But he married the Almana. And now she got kidnapped. So the halach is, Chayev Leftoisai. If we follow the wording of the stipulation, it could easily be fulfilled. The stipulation says that if you're kidnapped, I'll ransom you and send you home. Perfect. There's nothing illegal about doing that. Shani Karba, we could easily fulfill, that if you're kidnapped, I'll ransom you and send you home. On the other hand, says Abaya, if a Mamzeris or a Nesina married a Yisrael, so again, we have an illegal marriage, but the Kedushin is Typhus, it's only Chai V'Lavin. Here, says Abaya, and a Chai V'Lavin, if she's kidnapped, he doesn't have to ransom her. Because the wording of the Ksuba cannot be fulfilled. We can't follow the wording of the Ksuba. The Ksuba says that I'll ransom you and take you back home. Not taking her back home. He's not supposed to take her back home. Says Abaya, if we can't follow the wording of the Ksuba, then the halacha will be that he doesn't have to redeemer at all. Says Tysus, a very interesting point. We've learned earlier in our perek that there's a quid pro quo between the husband and wife. The quid pro quo is that he eats the peiris, the profits of a nichsi malog, and in return, if she's chas v'shalom kidnapped, he has to ransom her. And as we learned earlier in the perek, there's no calculation that it should be a worthwhile deal. I ate $5,000 of Paris. The ransom is $10,000. It's not a worthwhile deal. That's how it goes. Sometimes he benefits, sometimes she benefits. Abaye is telling us that if it's Ashes Yisrael, who wasn't supposed to be married to this person, there Abaye says the deal doesn't apply. Says Tyson, what do we mean when we say that the deal doesn't apply? That he doesn't have to pay whatever ransom there is at all. But certainly, if he's been eating peiros from this woman's nichsei maluk for all these years, and she gave up those peiros, and the example we gave was $5,000 worth of peiros, and now he's saying, well, I came to the Daf Yomi Shir. The Daf Yomi Shir says that since I'm not supposed to marry you, the stipulation doesn't apply, and those $5,000 of peiros that he's been eating all those years, certainly he owes her. So when we say that he doesn't have to ransom her, says Tysus, it means that he doesn't have to give more than he ate. But as much as he gained from her, he certainly owes her to pay her back. Then the Achroinim ask another interesting question. They ask, if Abaya is drawing the distinction between an Eishes Kohen and an Eishes Yisrael, that the Eishes Kohen, he could fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. Because the Eishes Kohen, it says, that I'll ransom you and send you home. So then the Gemara should have remained consistent. Why did the Gemara speak by a Kohen of this rare example of a Amano L'Kohen Gadol? The Gemara said a Mamzeris L'Kohen Gadol, because he could fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. He'll ransom her and send her home. So we should have been consistent, speaking in both situations about a Mamzeris, and saying by Yisrael he can't fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, and that's why he doesn't have to. And by a Kohen, he can fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, and that's why he has to fulfill it. Says Seyde Achroinim, a very simple teretz, we certainly can't treat a Kohen more leniently than Yisrael. We're saying that if Yisrael married a Mamzeres, he doesn't have to fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. And a Kohen, who we know always is considered holier than a Yisrael, by him, no. He'll have to fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. And that doesn't make any sense, and therefore the Gemara had to speak about a case of a Mona L'Kohen Gadol, which is a unique Issa to a Kohen, versus Mamzeres L'Kohen. A Mamzeres L'Kohen, everybody would agree, he doesn't have to ransom her. Rav Amar. Rav disagrees with Abaye. He says, Kosh Issa Shvuya Garim La, if the reason that he has to ransom her is because she became a Shvuya, then Chayiv Leftoisa by a Kohen, even though he can't take her back. However, Issa Dava Acha Garim La, if there's another issue that's preventing him from taking her back, for example, Amon L'Kohen Gadol, Chayiv Leftoisa. I saw a very interesting Shaila, and Chayiv Leftoisa, then he doesn't have to take her back. I saw a very interesting Shaila in the Chelkas Mechaikik. He asked the following Shaila, according to Abaye, that Abaye says that a Kohen who married an Almana has to take her back. He has to ransom her because he could fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. What will be the halacha? Unbelievable story he speaks about. This woman was kidnapped and she willingly had relations with the captors. He still could fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. What is the wording of the Ksuba? I'll ransom you and send you to your parents. So that's what he's doing. Should he, according to Abaye, even if she willingly had relations, have to ransom her? The Chalkas Mechaikik says if we follow Abaye's wording, we'd have to. Most Achronim disagree with the Chalkas Mechaikik because they find it inconceivable that a woman should willingly have an adulterous relationship and the husband should still have to pay an exorbitant ransom fee. Says the Gemara, Lemeka Tanai. The Gemara wants to suggest that the Machlokes of Abaye and Rava is actually Machlokes Tanoim. Hamadaris Ishtoi. If somebody makes a neder that he's not going to have any benefit from his wife, Venishbis, and then she gets kidnapped. So now, even, again, Rav Elazar Omer, Poydin V'Dais Lek Subasa, he has to ransom her, even though he can't take her back, because she's Asa to him, he made this neder, and he has to pay the Ksuba. Rav Shulamah, Nois Lek Subasa, the Ksuba he has to pay, as every couple whose marriage terminates, they ain't a paidaisa, but he doesn't have to redeem her. Why doesn't he have to redeem her? The Gemara is learning that we're referring to an Eishes Yisrael. An Eishes Yisrael, the wording of the Ksuba is that I'll ransom you and take you back. Here, since he made a neder that he can't have benefit from her, so he cannot take her back, so Rabbi Yeshua says, you don't have to ransom. So we learned the Gemara, it seems Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Abaye, and Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rava. Amram Nassim. So Rabbi Nassim continues asking Rabbi Yeshua, Sha'ati Sumchas. I ask Sumchas, as we were understanding Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Sha'am Rabbi Yeshua, Noisel Ksubasa, Vein Apoidei. Rabbi Yeshua says that he gives her the Ksuba, and he doesn't have to redeem her. What is the case? Is it referring to a situation, Kshedira Ulub Saif Nishbis, where he made a neder that she may not have benefit? And then she got kidnapped, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua says, since he can't take her back for a wife, that's why he doesn't have to ransom her. Perhaps Rabbi Yeshua even said his din where she was kidnapped, and then the guy's a smart guy, he came to learn. He makes a neder that he can't benefit from her. Since he can't benefit from her, so he can't fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, and therefore he won't be obligated to ransom her. Vomali. Lo shemati. I did not hear from Rabbi Yeshua exactly what he heard in this case. However, the near and dvarim, it makes sense to say shevdir l'b'soif nishbis, that Rabbi Yeshua said his opinion only in a case where first he made the neder, she became osa to him, And then she got kidnapped. Because the Amrit, if you're going to say Rabbi Shua is going to say his opinion, even by Nishbis Ulubsoi Fadira, even in such a case, Asala Rume, the person could always make the following trick. He could say that I'm going to, his wife will be kidnapped. He doesn't want to have to pay the large ransom. He'll say, she's Asa to me. I'll make a nether. Then he'll say, I can't fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. And if I can't fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, therefore I am not, I'm a potter from ransoming her. So to say such a thing makes no sense. Therefore, Asa Larumi. Ask Rav Shlomo Hyman a very simple question. Our Mishnah, the Mishnah we learned yesterday, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, said that if a man has no right to abrogate the obligation of pidyon, the obligation of redeeming his wife. Ask Rav Shlomo, the Gemara should have said a very simple teretz. The Gemara should have said that if every man could do this, that he can make a nether and therefore become potter from ransoming his wife, so then the Mishnah makes no sense. What does the Gemara say? Asla Rume. The Gemara could have said, then the whole Mishnah falls away. Says Rav Shlomo that the Gemara knew that that's what it means. That the Gemara knew that the nether cannot be effective under all situations, and that's part of the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, my laugh, isn't the case the machloikus of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua that we're referring to? Eishes Kayim Kamifugi. We're referring to an Eishes Kayim. And Abaya, the Omek Rabbi Elazar, Abaya says like Rabbi Elazar, that point of a nice like Ksubasa, since a Kayim can fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, because even though he made the nether that he's not going to benefit from her, he could still fulfill what it says in the Ksuba, that I'll ransom you and send you home. V'rava, Domek Rav Yeshua. And Rava holds that even though he could technically fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, still Rav Yeshua teaches us that if the reason, if there's a different problem with this woman, other than the fact that she is kidnapped, meaning in this case that he made a nether that he can't have benefit from her, then the stipulation of the Ksuba, even by a Kohen, doesn't apply. So it seems that the machlokes of Abaye and Rava is the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. Loi, says the Gemara, that's not the case. Hachav Ma'iskina, what is the case of the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua? It's, as Rashi says, we're not referring to an Eishes Kohen. We're referring to an Eishes Yisrael. The Balamar says that we could be referring to both Eishes Kohen and Eishes Yisrael. But we'll learn with Rashi's pshat. We're referring about an Eishes Yisrael. But it's not that he initiated the nether. It's referring to a situation that she initiated the nether. Shenidra ihi, she made a nether that I'm not allowed to have any benefit from you. V'kayim lahu. And then he confirmed the nether. Because we know, we've discussed this, the halach is that a husband can confirm a nether of his wife, or could be made for, can annul the nether. And that's exactly what happened here. She made the nether, and he confirmed it. Rabbi Elazar Savar, who knows an etzba ben shenehu? He's the one that's considered a made the nether. Why is he the one that's considered made the nether? Because without his confirmation, there is no nether. And since he made the nether, so he can't make a nether to abolish the requirement, and therefore he has to ransom her. Rabbi Shua Savar, if she had not initiated the nether, there would be no nether. He knows an etzba ben shenehu. She's the one that initiated it, and therefore we can't make him, and we shouldn't make him ransom her. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand Rabbi Yeshua, he knows an etzba ben shenehu. We're saying that since she initiated the nether, she should be held responsible, and he doesn't have to ransom her. So the question is, ksuba ma'avidata. Rabbi Yeshua says, although he doesn't have to ransom her, he has to pay a ksuba. If Rabbi Shua is looking at this woman as if she did something wrong by initiating this nether, then why is she deserving a ksuba? Furthermore, asked the Gemara, Amr Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson, when he heard Rav Yeshua's opinion, says, Sha'alti Asumchus, I asked Sumchus, Kishom Rav Yeshua Nosson L'Ksubasa. Rav Yeshua said, I give the Ksuba Upaida, Vein Upaida, but he doesn't have to pay the ransom. So as we discussed a moment ago, Rav Nosson, in trying to understand Rav Yeshua's opinion, wanted to understand, is it in a situation of Kshadir L'Basayf Nishbis, or B'Nishbis L'Basayf Adira? Did the nether come before her being kidnapped, or did it come after? But if the whole point of Rabbi Yeshua is that she's at fault because she initiated the nether, so what's the difference when she made the nether? Rabbi Yeshua is holding her at fault because she made the nether. And the Gemara, V'amaloy Shemati, I don't know. Says the Gemara, V'idin Nadri Ihi. If Rabbi Yeshua says that the issue here is because she made the nether, and that's why she's held responsible, and that's why he doesn't have to pay ransom, so what's the difference when she made the nether? Mali hidir l'psoif nishbis, mali nishbis l'psoif adir. What's the difference when she made the nether? So again, what is the case of the machloikas of Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar? Ela olam de adri ihu. He is the one that initiated the nether. And yet, says the Gemara, we do not have to say that the machloikis of Abaye and Rava is identical to the machloikis of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar. Abaye mataritz l'tamei. Abaye could explain it according to his reasoning. Rav mataritz l'tamei. And the Gemara analyzes each opinion. Abaye mataritz l'tamei. Abaye explains it according to his opinion. Amon l'koin godl kulam le pligi d'chayel of toysoi. According to Abaye, if a koin godl married Amonah, he has to ransom her. Why? As we said at the beginning of the year, he could fulfill the wording of the stipulation. Mamzeres from the Sinai Yisrael. If a Yisrael married a Mamzer in the Sinai, again, Kulam loy pligid ein chayiv of Daisai. Why? He can't fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, because he can't take her back. He's not supposed to be married to her. Madir Eishes Kayin. If a Kayin made a nether that his wife is not allowed to have benefit from her, again, Abaya, according to his line of reasoning, Nami Kulam loy pligid ein chayiv of Daisai. Why? Because he could fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. He'll ransom her, and he'll send her home to her parents. Fulfill the wording of the Ksuba. So even though he made a nether that he can't benefit, that doesn't contradict the wording of the Ksuba. Because, says Abaya, it's the exact same situation as Almona L'Koin Godel. Key pligi, where do we have, according to Abaya, the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua? In the case of Mada Eishes Yisrael, where Yisrael made a nether that a wife may not benefit from him. Rabbi Elazar Ozel Basim Yikara. When the husband and wife got married, the stipulation of the contract was very doable. They're a perfectly married couple, and the contract says that if she chas v'shalom gets kidnapped, I'll ransom you and take you home. I later, something happened that changed that. He already obligated himself. He can't change that. Rabbi Shua Ozel Basa Basayf. Rabbi Shua doesn't look at the moment of the contract being written. It's Machloikis Rishonim, what Basayf means. Some Rishonim means we look at the moment of when she was captured. And if at that moment when she was kidnapped, he's mutter to her, then it doesn't make a difference. That's the moment to look. But if on the other hand, at the moment she was kidnapped, it was already after he made a nether that she's not allowed to live with him. So at that moment, he can't fulfill the wording of the contract. So I don't look at what happened at the moment of the wedding. Or other Rishonim say, we look at the moment when he's going to ransom her. And if therefore, even if at the moment she was kidnapped, there was no nether, but if he made a nether before she was kidnapped, so since at that moment they can't live together, he doesn't have to fulfill it. We look at the moment that he has to pay the ransom, according to those Rishonim. And Rav Mataratzel Tamei, and Rav explains the Machlokes of Blazer and Bishua according to his line of reasoning. Amon Kain Godel, Amamzeres V'Nesin El Yisrael, Kulei Amaloi Pligi Dein Chayiv L'Toisoi. Everybody agrees that you don't have to ransom her. Why? Because even though the Kain Godel technically, says Rava, could fulfill the wording of the Ksuba, but there's another, but here it's not because of the Shvuya part that's her problem. The problem is he's not supposed to be married to her. Ki pligi b'madir. The issue is if he made a nadir, and Bein Beish is Kohen, and Bein Beish is Yisrael. According to Rav, it makes no difference if it's the Kohen that made such a nether, or Yisrael that made a nether. Rav Elazar also Basa Mikara. Same explanation. Since at the moment of marriage, he had to fulfill the contract, the fact that something came up later doesn't change his obligation. Rav Shua also Basa Besaif, we look at the moment that she was captured, and if a nether was made prior to that, so when she was captured, he couldn't fulfill the contract, so he's not Mechuyiv to. So we've been discussing Nishbas Chayiv Lufdaisai. If she becomes captured, he has to ransom her. Tanar Abana, Nishbas B'chayiv Bala. If a woman was captured while her husband was alive, V'achkach Meis Bala, and then her husband died, says the Gemara, Hikav Bala. If the husband, before he died, was aware that his wife was kidnapped, and then he dies before he actually ransomed her, the loch is Yashim Chayavim Lufdaisai. His Yashim have to continue that obligation of ransoming her. And as the Hafla explains the Gemara, it's no different, says the Hafla, than let's say somebody's father owed somebody's money. And then that person, and then the father died. So the Yashim have an obligation to pay up their father's debts. The moment that the father became aware that his wife was kidnapped, he has a financial obligation to ransom her. Then even if he dies, his Yashim have to continue paying that obligation. Loi hikababala. But on the other hand, if the husband never was aware prior to his death that his wife was kidnapped, so again we follow the Hafla's explanation, there was never an obligation, there was never a financial obligation created on the father, and therefore the Yashim certainly, who are not her husband, and Yashim Chayavim Lufdaisai. Says the Gemara, Levi saw the Lemevet of the Kamas Nisa. Levi learned this Braisa, and he wanted to follow what the Braisa says. Amalei Rav, so Rav told him, Hochi Amal Chavivi. Chavivi means Rav Chia, who was Rav's double uncle. He was his mother's half-brother and his father's half-brother. And Rashi says that uncle was typically called Chavivi. Less Hilchasa Ki Hamas Nisa, the halacha does not follow this Braisa, El Kaho. The following Braisa is the correct halacha. The Tanya, Nishbis Lacha Mises Bala, if a woman was captured after her husband passed away, certainly any Yisarim Chayav and Lufdaisai. Because what does the Ksuba say? The Ksuba says, I will redeem you and I'll take you back. He's not here anymore. V'loyoi, but furthermore, El Afil Nishbis B'chayav Bala, says the Braisa, even if she was captured while the husband was alive, and he was aware of it, v'achach meis bala, and yisam chayom lefdoisai. Why? Going back to how we began today's shir. We have to follow the wording of the ksuba. The wording of the ksuba is, I'll ransom you, and I'll take you back as a wife. He can't take her back as a wife. He's dead. And therefore, since the wording of the ksuba cannot be followed, it's totally void. Shenani kari by v'sinif lo entam. Tanrabon, Nishbis. If a woman was kidnapped, Vayimavakshim Adasar B'damel, and the kidnappers want 10 times her value. And there's a Machloikis HaRishonim, what does Damel mean? What does her value mean? Rashi seems to say, Damel means how much she could be sold as a slave. Many Rishonim take issue with Rashi's Pshat. Because they say, let's say we'll have an older person, a very distinguished older person that's kidnapped. So if we look at it as sold as a slave, he doesn't have much value. He's an old man. He can't really do much work. But if we look at him as an individual, he's a very important person. So we're going to say he's not worth anything because as a slave he's not worth anything. So therefore, I saw Rishonim that say a different formula is followed here. We look at what this person's worth is given his status. But then I saw a very interesting Ratvaz. Ratvaz says like this. He says, typically, unfortunately our history is full of such instances, not only Jews are kidnapped, Goyim are kidnapped also. But when a Jew is kidnapped, they always want more ransom than when a Goy is kidnapped. When we look at the Omeho, says the Ratvaz, we look at what would a Goy like this person be worth? And that's how much a Jew should ransom should be. Anything above that is considered above the proper ransom. So again, Tanarabonim, Nishbis, Vayimavakshim, Men Adasara, Vidamel, they want 10 times the value. Says the Braisa, according to the Rabbanim, Pam Rishon Apoida, he has to pay the price. Mekan Ve'eloch, Rotz Apoida, Rotz Ein Apoida. The next time, if it happens, he doesn't have to pay the ransom. So Tysus makes a very interesting observation. Tysus quotes a very famous Gemara Masechta Gittin. The Gemara says in Masechta Gittin that if somebody is kidnapped and the kidnappers want a lot more than the person is worth, the halacha is the community should not pay it. And the Gemara gives two possible reasons. One reason is because we don't want to burden the community. And another reason the Gemara gives is because we're going to give the kidnappers too much of an appetite. They could take whatever price and they'll get it. Says Tysus, from our Gemara, it seems that there's a proof that the reason is because we're worried about the community burden. Because if the concern was, or is, that we don't want to feed the appetite of the kidnappers, so what's the difference of the community's paying it or individuals paying it? So the fact that the Gemara says that individuals should pay more than the value, it's a clear proof that the reason the community doesn't pay it is because we only worry about burdening the community. Says Tysus, it's not a raya. Because Tysus says, who is being kidnapped? Who was kidnapped here? The wife, somebody's wife. We have a concept throughout Halacha of Ishtei Kegufoi. If somebody, Chas V'Shalom, were kidnapped, would he start being concerned about the appetite of his kidnapper? He just wants to get freed. You should treat your wife like you would treat yourself, and therefore there's no proof from this situation. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Omer, he holds, Ein Poydin Sashvim, Yoysel Kedei Demeim. We don't pay more than the value of Nei Tikkun Oilam. He says we don't want to create a situation that they could start kidnapping and take very high ransom. Habachdei Demeim, Poydim. It seems that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we don't give more, but we give her value. Avagav de pekona yosa al ksubasa. Even if the ransom is worth more than the ksuba. As the Gemara of Vermini, we learned the following brisa. The brisa says, nishbis vayivakshim men asar ksubasa, if she was kidnapped and they want 10 times the value. Says the brisa, as the Rabbanan learned on Amar Aleph, par mishon apoida, the first time he should pay, bikan velech rotza apoida, rotza ein apoida, if he wants he could pay, wants he doesn't have to pay. Rishim Gamliel Oimer, ima yipakuna keneg ksubasa, if the ransom is equal to the ksuba apoida, then he pays it. Imlav ein apoida. So we see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the Gemara, trei kuli islay. Number one, he's saying we shouldn't overpay. And number two, he's saying, even if you're not overpaying, if the value of the ransom is worth more than the ksuba, you don't have to give it either. Halacha l'maisa, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, says the Rishonim, let's say you have a husband that really loves his wife, and the ransom is worth more than the ksuba, and the ransom is worth more than they should demand, but the husband wants to pay it, Rav Shimon Gamliel will not say that he's not allowed to pay it. Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying he doesn't have to pay it, but if he wants, he's allowed to. There's also interesting shaila. Again, Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't have these shailas. We have been explaining our Gemara that we can't use a wife as a model for regular halachas of kidnapping. As we said, ishtek gufay. The Paiskim discuss what about other close family relatives, children, parents. Do we treat them as regular people and you have to pay, you shouldn't overpay? Or do we say that any close relative, the halachas are different and a person's allowed to pay whatever they ask because it's a close relative? Again, we should never have the shaila, but it seems that the Paiskim say that any close relative have different halachas. We learned in the Mishnah, Loks Achayiv L'Refusoi, if she gets sick, he has to pay the doctor bills. And again, Tysus and the Rishonim point out, we mentioned it in the previous year, it's only if she got sick naturally. But let's say she caused herself to get sick. She ate what she wasn't supposed to eat. She went out not dressed properly and she got sick. So then he shouldn't be held responsible to pay for her doctor bills. Tan Rabbanan, Amon and the Zonis Menachsi Yisayimim. We also learned and will learn that part of the ksuba obligation is that even after the husband dies, his estate has to support the wife. V'tzricha refuah, harei k'mezainis. Doctor bills are like mezainis. A person needs to go to a doctor if he's not well. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, he makes the following distinction. Refuah sheyesh la kitzva nisrapis miksubasa, she'ein la kitzva harei k'mezainis. What is the unique, this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. What is the unique characteristic of mezonos? We have to eat every day. So he says the same thing a refuah. A refuah, she'ein lo kitzvah, that there's no set price. It's not like a person who's sick goes to the doctor and says, okay, you have to have an operation. The operation is going to cost $10,000, and that's it, and then you'll be fine, you don't have to see me again. That's not like mezonos, because that's a one-time deal. Mezonos, by definition, is something that's a recurring occurrence. Therefore, says the Gemara, if it's refuah she'ein lo kitzvah, that she's going to need constant medical care, so then he has the estate has to pay it, because they have to pay all mezonos expenses. If, on the other hand, it's a one-time charge, that's considered not like mezonos. It doesn't have the common characteristic to mezonos, and the yisoyimim do not have to pay it. It can be deducted from the amount she's owed from the ksuba. Refuah she'esh lo kitzvah. If it's a one-time charge, nisrabas miksubasa, we deduct it from the ksuba. She'ein lo kitzvah, but if it's a recurring charge, so then it has the same characteristic as mezonos, and they're obligated to pay it. Amrab Yochanan, also hakagas v'stam b'etz Yisrael, k'refuah she'ein lo kitzvah. We know, the Gemara mentions it many times throughout Shas, that one of their typical medical procedures was hakazas dam, letting blood. Says the Gemara, in Eretz Yisrael, hakazas dam is considered like a refuah she'ein lo kitzvah. And the Rishonim give two explanations. One is in Eretz Yisrael, they were very big proponents of this medical procedure. And they did it often. So it's a refuah she'ein lo kitzvah. Another explanation I saw in the Rishonim is that there weren't many people in Eretz Yisrael who were experts in being makers dam. In Bavel, they were much more experienced in this procedure. So in Eretz Yisrael, they could take whatever price they want because they had so few people that could do it. So it's like Ein Lo Kitzvah. Before we begin the next Gemara, a word of introduction. We're all very familiar with a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Atas atzmecha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabei Omer, Atas atzmecha ka'orcha edayonim. One shouldn't act like a lawyer. Very, very difficult Mishnah to understand. That means, how's a Jew allowed to be a lawyer? And there are two approaches in the Rishonim how to understand that Mishnah. One approach is actually that one is not allowed to be a lawyer. If there's a din Torah between two Jews, let everybody come in and say their claims, and then the Beis Din will paskin. So then, if that's shot in the Mishnah, so how do we ever have lawyers? And even in the Torahs, we have Tayanim. How do we have it? So some Rishonim suggest that the Orech Din is considered Mashliach, and Shluchah Shel Adam Kamaisai. Very difficult explanation, because if that's Pshat, so obviously, if I hired him as a lawyer, he's going to be my Shliach. So what's Pshat in the Mishnah? So most Rishonim and Achroinim say that Al-Tatz Atzbechal Orech Dayanim means that if the two people in the Din Torah don't agree to having lawyers, so if you don't agree to have a lawyer, I'm not allowed to have a lawyer. But if both sides agree to allow lawyers to represent them, the meichel their rights, then you're allowed to take a lawyer. And in fact, there's an interesting Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, if so, when the Din Torah commences, he says that each party has to explicitly be told that halach, according to this approach in the Rishonim, halachically you should not require a tayin. Not only not require a tayin, you should not take a tayin. And unless you explicitly are meichel and say it's fine that that the other party has a lawyer. And he says to you it's fine that you should have a lawyer, you shouldn't be allowed to have him. Other achroinim are not as machmer as the Chazon Ish, and they suggest that it's already self-understood that that's the way all din Torahs and that's the way all court cases go. We have lawyers represent us, and everybody's fine that the other side should have a lawyer. There's another approach in the Mefarshim and how to learn Atas Atzmecha Karcha Dayanim. It has nothing to do with lawyers. It has to do how I should not give you advice to win a din Torah which is not straight. In other words, to tell you, this is the way the Bartanura and the Tosfos Yontov explain, to tell you this is the din, that's fine. In other words, let's say you're entering into din Torah and you're not familiar with what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So I could sit down with you and learn through the halakhs in Shulchan Aruch. The Tosfos Yontov says that's fine. But if I start giving you different tricks that you could employ halachically that may change the din Torah on your benefit, that is not allowed. So now we could start the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Havelay itis abba David tzricha refuel kol yoyma. Rav Yochanan had relatives that their father died, left the wife, and she Nebuch was sick. She had to go to the doctor Nebuch every day. Also came to Rav Yochanan. So they came to Rav Yochanan, and they said, this expense of paying the doctors is very hard on us. Do you have any halachic advice how we could get out of this expense? Omlu, izilu kitzlo midal roifei. Go make a deal with the doctor that you're putting him on retainer. We're paying you a certain amount a year, and that, and for that you have to take care of this woman under all circumstances, and it'll be a refuah sheyesh like kitzvah. And based on the Gemara we just learned a moment ago, refuah sheyesh like kitzvah is not like mezoinus, and they're not obligated to pay it. Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rabbi Yochanan thought to himself, what did I do here? Asinu atznoi kachay deyonim. I acted inappropriately. I gave them advice how to get out of, I gave them advice of a loophole in the halacha. And it's inappropriate. Says the Gemara, my car, my psover, l'psof, my sover. And as Mefarshim explained, we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, everything he did, he examined if it's halachically correct. So it's not that he could have first said it's, he didn't think it's mutter or asr, and then he recognized it's asr. He obviously, if he said it, he recognized, he must have thought it was mutter. So what happened that he thought it was mutter, and then changed his mind? Says the Gemara, Mikar Sovim Sarchalay Tosalim. He thought to himself, I didn't do anything wrong, because I, the halacha is the halacha, as we just learned the Gemara, and I'm just teaching my relatives the Gemara that we just learned. And I have an obligation to teach my relatives this, because they're my relatives. M'sarchalay Tosalim. L'psayv Sov Adam Chashav Shani. As the Mepharshim explained, I'm going to see Rabbi Yochanan giving these people this advice. I'm not going to know that they're his relatives. I'm going to think that Rabbi Yochanan acts as a lawyer to give people advice how to get out of the law. A person's Adam Chashiv has to be above any suspicion. And therefore, because Rabbi Yochanan was Adam Chashiv, he had to be extra careful not to do this. Says the Mishnah. We've been learning about the Ksubas Ben Dichrin. The Ksubas Ben Dichrin, and that's going to be the Gemara we're going to learn, but let's just explain the stipulation. It says as follows. We know that if the wife dies before the husband, so then everything that she brought into the marriage, he is her Yorish. Then he dies. Who are his Yorishim? His Yorishim are his children. Now it's very possible that this man had more than one wife, we're talking the time of the Gemara, or after his first wife died, he'll marry another woman and have children. All the money that his first father-in-law gave him, and maybe his first shidduch was a rich shidduch, and there's a lot of money in the shidduch, all that money is now going to be shared not only by the grandchildren of his first father-in-law, but all of the children of this man. So people were typically concerned about writing a significant nadin into a marriage because they're afraid that that money will go to people who are totally not related to them. So that's why Chazal were mesaknik subas ben dichrin. That under normal circumstances, all of the money that was given by the first father-in-law to the husband as a nadin will not be put into the pot to be divided by all of this, by this husband's yarshim. They will only be given to the grandchildren of this father-in-law. While bin halacha says the Mishnah, lekasula benin dichrin del hevel chaminoi. He did not write into the ksuba this stipulation that the male children that will be born from this wife, inin yas and kesef ksubaseich, they will get all of these assets. Yes al chalkun dem achon, not to be divided together with all of the brothers. Chayiv. The ksuba benin dichrin is anyway put in should tanai bezdin. It's a tanai bezdin that it should always be put in. And the Mefarshim explain what's the lashon inun. So they explain that even though the father-in-law writes a stipulation that his grandchildren should be the only ones getting the money he gave into the ksuba, it only goes up to his grandchildren. Let's say his grandchildren aren't alive, but his great-grandchildren are alive. Are they considered the ksubas ben dichrin? No. Inun. Only my grandchildren, not my great-grandchildren. Another stipulation of ksuba is benun nukvim di yechevim l'chaminai. Any girls that will be born, Yehavin Yasrim Vibesi, will remain in my home, or Mitzim in the Chosi, and be supported from my estate, Ad Titulochan Legovern, until they're married. Again, Chayiv, even if it's not written in the Ksuba, he's obligated to do it, Shetanai Bezdin, it's automatically included. I saw that the Rishonim discussed, how far does this obligation go to support his children? And we'll learn in a minute, to support his widow. Certainly, as we've been learning, he has to pay mezoinus, her food. Does he have to pay her clothing? So the Mefarshim say that clothing is also considered a basic necessity, and they have to pay, the estate has to pay for the clothing. What about shoes? The Shaul HaMeshiv quotes Pesukim that many times we see in the Torah speaks about v'yilbishem, v'yanilem. So we see that shoes and clothing don't necessarily travel together. In fact, I remember I once saw from Rav Avadya Yosef, a tshuva, he says, the aloch is that one's supposed to change all his clothing l'kavod Shabbos. So he says, maybe you don't have to change your shoes, because shoes are not considered clothing. And therefore, the Shaul HaMeshiv has a discussion that even if you have to give the daughters and the almana clothing, you may not have to pay for their shoes. Then, if he did not write into the ksuba, Ate Yasi Vibesi, you can remain in my home, or Mitzei Menachsi, and be supported off my estate, Kol Yimei Mega Mosaich, as long as you're a widow, as long as you remain in my home, even if he didn't actually write into the ksuba, the loch is chayv shetnei bezdin. Continues the Mishnah. Kach hoyu anshi Yerushalayim kaisvim. This is what the anshi Yerushalayim wrote. Anshi golu hoyu kaisvim kanshi Yerushalayim. The anshi golu acted like the anshi Yerushalayim. So sort of a mefarshim ask, why does the Mishnah say it in two clauses? The anshi Yerushalayim and the anshi golu. The Mishnah should have said one clause. This is what the anshi Yehuda, Anshe Yerushalayim and Anshe Golo did. So I saw the Mefarshim answer, the Anshe Golo did not originally act this way. They only copied the Anshe Yerushalayim. So first it was the Anshe Yerushalayim, and then the Anshe Golo copied them. Anshe Yehuda Yekosvim, but Anshe Yehuda didn't write this way. They wrote, Anshe Yirtzva Yorshim Litin Lo Ksubaseich. They wrote that the Yorshim have a right to say, you know what, we'll pay you out your ksuba, and we don't have to support you. If the Yorshim want, they could give her a ksuba and don't have to support her. And the Rishonim say, not only did the Anshe Yehuda include this, but let's say there is nothing written into the ksuba. It's understood in Yehuda that that is the way a ksuba is written, and they always have a right to say, take your ksuba and we don't have to support you. We really explain this. A person should write a nice nadin for his daughter. Ask the Gemara. Is there anything? The Rechmana Amar Bra Liris. We know, and we'll discuss this more in tomorrow's share, a daughter is not deserving of inheritance. By the father writing a large dowry to his daughter, he's depriving his sons of Yerusha. How could a person do that? Midi. The Rachman Arma, the Torah, teaches us Bra Liris, Barta Loyer Liris. A son inherits not a daughter. V'os Rabbanan, Umesakni, the Teiris Barta. And now the Rabbanan saying, give the daughter a large ksuba at the expense of the son. Answers, the Gemara Hanami Deraisahu. Taking care of your daughters is a Chiv Deraisa also. The Ksiva, the Pasuk says, in Yimriya, Kru noshim, take wives, veli bonim mebonos, and have children. Vechu lebneichem noshim, vespenesechem tnu lenoshim. Get wives for your sons, and husbands for your daughters. Says the Gemara, bishlo mebonim biyodi kaimi. The pasuk is hard to understand. Very interesting Gemara. The way most mefarshim explain the Gemara is, a son is easy to marry off. It's easy to marry off boys. Girls is harder. Ella, bansim yikaimim biyadei, is it so easy to marry off your daughter? The flaw has a different approach. A flaw says like this. We know, we stressed this many times, there's a chiv of pur revu. But the mitzvah pur revu is only on men, not on women. So a father, if his son doesn't want to get married, could force him to get married. You have a mitzvah. A daughter doesn't have a chiv of pur revu. How could he force to get married? So how do we explain the pasuk? Hakamash malon, what the pasuk is teaching us. Dinobisha, vidnichsa, prepare our daughters, give her nice clothing, v'nesel of midi, and give her a nice dowry, kekech the tax relay, that men should be interested in marrying her, v'asa nazbalei, and that's why they'll marry her. Vat kama, says the Gemara, how much should be given for a dowry? Abai v'ravad amr tavayu ad l'esa nechsi. Until 10% of his assets. Ask the Gemara, v'eim the ba'al liris, the ba'al loy liris. Ask the Gemara, saying the ksubas b'nin dechrin. The ksubas b'nin dechrin was saying goes to the children of the wife. But maybe only the part that she brought in, but not the part of the ksuba that the husband contributes. Says the Gemara, imkein av mimne v'loy kosef. So the Rishonim explained the Gemara very simply. When the husband writes this ksubas b'nin dechrin, he's taking a risk. Because as we're going to learn, not in all cases is the ksubas b'nin dechrin relevant. So he's taking an element of risk. When will he be willing to take an element of risk? If the husband also takes an element of risk. But if the husband doesn't take risk, the father won't take risk. If the father writes a ksubas b'nin dechrin, then the husband should be obligated. If the father doesn't write, then the husband shouldn't be obligated. Says the Gemara, like plug rabbonim. Ask the Gemara, bas ben abonim namitiris. The ksubas b'nin dechrin says that the sons of this marriage will get it. What happens if they're only daughters? Then they don't get it. But if the father, if the grandfather is worried about his assets, so he should say the same even if they're only girls. Answers the Gemara, Kenach l'shavi rabbonin. It's treated like a Yerusha. Ask the Gemara, Bas ben abonis teres. So let's say they're only daughters. That then the daughters are the Yarshim. The ksubas b'nin dechrin requirement should kick in. So the Gemara, like Paul rabbonin. Chazal didn't differentiate, and there's never a ksubas b'nin dechrin to girls. Ask the Gemara, v'tidgim metapli. The ksubas b'nin dechrin should not only be on karka, it should even be on metaplin. Says the Gemara, ksubas shavi rabbonin. It has a din like the ksuba, which is only from the karka. Ask the Gemara, titra from mishabdi, that even the assets that the husband sold, they should take back. Says the Gemara, yisutunan. It's like a Yerusha. Something that the sold, you can't take back after the father dies. Ve'im afgav delekim moisadinim. The halacha is that if the father doesn't leave enough that we could have Hilchus Yerusha, we'll learn the Gemara later, then the Ksubas B'nin Dechrin clause doesn't kick in. Why? Answer the Gemara, the Makom to Kami Akra Nachla Deraisa. If they won't be able to fulfill the Hilchus Yerusha Deraisa, like the Kin Rabbanan, then Chazal did not say the Ksubas B'nin Dechrin. Just to end the shir, there's a fascinating discussion amongst the Ga'onim. The Ga'onim say, why did Chazal make this, we learned, why did Chazal make the Gzerik Ksubas B'nin Dechrin? In order that men should be interested in marrying women. He says, nowadays, interesting, Rav Matusyo Goin says this, nowadays where fathers give so much for their daughters to marry off anyway, and fathers are so anxious to marry off the daughters, so maybe the ksubas b'nin dechrin clause should no longer be relevant, because the father's going to give anyway. And especially, he says, since there's so many, as we just learned, there's so many difficulties in applying the ksubas b'nin dechrin clause, perhaps we shouldn't have it. That's what Rav Matusyahu Goin says. Rav Hai Goin says that no, once Chazal instituted, even the reasons are no longer applicable, it remains. Tosfos obviously takes Rav Hai Goin even further. Because yesterday we quoted a Tekanis Goinim, that Tekanis Goinim says that even though we learned in the Gemara, in the previous year, that girls are not supported only from Mekarka, not from Metatlin, Tekanis Goinim is that they are now supported even from Metatlin. Says Taisus, not only is the Ksubas B'nin Dechrin still applicable, but even, it's so applicable that the Tekanis Ga'onim that we give Metaltlin applies even to the Ksubas B'nin Dechrin nowadays. The Ramah actually paskins that the Ksubas B'nin Dechrin is not anymore operational.